Hey there, Clippers fans. How's it going? It's me, William, the opinion update.
And I am positive Chuck Mock, right?
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. We're coming at you 5 days a week with all the freshest Clippers news.
Been a bit of a, almost like a, I feel like this week, because of the break, I've felt like I've been on a lazy river all week.
Feel like I've been on a lazy river? At the same time, yeah, there's only weird stuff. There's a lot of weird stuff coming out.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about some
of
that
today.
You
miss us with the weird stuff.
Yeah, miss me with that weird shit.
The long load management, anti-load management pieces.
We're going to talk about Stephen A's comments today.
The unverified but supposedly heard, even though not first person heard.
Or second.
Trash talk from Kawhi. I don't know. We're going to discuss all that, but we're going to kick things off with a little bit of a half-season look at the rotating starting lineup. We've talked about this sliding lineup a little bit. We're going to talk about how it's looked so far, as well as we got a little question for you. Should Kawhi and Paul George be staggered more? And then we have our Thirsty Thursday segment. We're going to talk about who and what we're thirsty for. This one is a little bit of a downer.
Dude, this one's kind of depressing.
We're talking about the young set of the Clippers squad and their time in the G League.
Yeah.
And they're an absolute routing that they faced the other night.
Yeah. With a notable DNP.
With a very notable DNP. And then we have some shavings for you. As I said at the top, we're going to talk a little bit about the Stephen A. Smith, Kawhi, trash talk.
Malarkey.
News that I don't know how this was so loud today, but
slow news day. He won.
No game. So all that and more coming up right about now.
Yeah, so we broke down, if you missed it, we broke down last episode, kind of the bench as a whole. Mm-hmm. Before that, we did Kawhi and Paul George. And now we're doing the rotating starters. One of the funny, I'm reminded of a Doc quote that made me laugh, where he was talking about like, oh, now you know, we have to wait to do the sliding lineup that mm-hmm. he had talked about earlier in the year because of all the injuries. And I was like, no, we're inherently doing the sliding lineup because of all the injuries.
Yeah.
Like, this has been a rotating lineup. Not by choice.
By necessity.
But by necessity for the most part. But we have, what, 16 different starting lineups so
far? I believe that's the count thus far.
This season, which is a lot. But we're kind of just now, if you maybe loosely follow the team, we're kind of just now getting into what we think is the, all right, this seems stable to really start seeing what the concrete starting lineup's going to be.
Yes, and when available, it seems like that lineup will be some variation of Bev, PG, Kawhi, Mo Harkless, and Zubats. With who do you think is the most slidery of these pieces to me thus far has really just been the power forward position. We throw Mo out there for stretches. We throw Patterson out there for stretches.
When one of Kawhi or Paul George is out, it's like, let's throw Patterson in. But not when they're both out.
If Jamichael starts hitting a crazy clip, it wouldn't. I would, you know, definitely see arguments to him being in that starting four spot.
Yeah.
But that seems to be the most flexible spot out of all of these. Correct.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's what Doc thinks. He's been raving about Mo. Mm-hmm. So this lineup has 15 games together. They're 11-4. They play around 12 minutes a game together. +2 net rating. Almost 40% from three. Shout out Paul George. Yeah, seems to be the set starting lineup.
Yeah.
For when everyone's healthy still, for sure.
For when everyone's when everyone's healthy, this seems to be what we're getting.
And I think, Kawhi and PG's versatility make them that when you take Mo out, you just slide them down. You know what I mean? So you can take Mo out for something more than a power forward. Like, you can take Mo out for, like, then you can put Shaman and still have, and then just have Kawhi and Paul George
shift
move
them down.
More. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, no, that totally makes sense. We just, in practice, we haven't seen it as much yet.
Kawhi at the fours looked pretty good, though, when he's played the four.
Yeah.
Specifically. When Patterson starts, because he's the other kind of, that first part of the season, everyone was surprised when it first happened and then gradually became okay with it, I would describe, because he's been playing fantastically. Patterson gets mixed in there. He does like the Gortat thing where he was like the starting center.
Yeah.
And then he would, you know, play the first 10 minutes or so and then just kind of be done or come in spottily.
Mm-hmm.
I think that maybe I'll be curious to see how many other games Patterson starts down as we move forward.
Yeah. It would be too. Kawhi has played the lion's share of his minutes at the small forward.
Yeah.
77% according to Basketball Reference. Around 14% of those minutes are at the power forward, or of his other minutes are at the power forward. So I agree, we could definitely see this shift up or down. One thing about all these lineups is we are supposing that they always feature George and Kawhi, which I don't see a starting lineup ever running out, obviously, if those two are healthy without it.
That would be, that'd be true chaos, Doc, right there.
But
that's like if we have like seven players.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, despite the number of lineups that we've had to run out there, they have been largely successful. If you take all the lineups in the NBA that have run out this season,
okay,
and throw out total games played, because I feel like that's a little bit, especially in our case, since we've had so many,
16 or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, you can't really count on that much continuity. And from that standpoint,
this is a fun stat, you would say.
Yeah,
this is a fun stat.
Or overall minutes, the Clippers have four of the top 10 lineups in terms of plus minus. And a couple of these are freaky. Most
of them
are
outliers.
Really. Yeah, yeah. But still, it's still a positive look. But I guess
It's nice to see that, like, that kind of like equal strike capability.
Yeah. My question is, should we be staggering Paul George and Kawhi more?
I mean, I want to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think once everything gets settled down in terms of continuity and all that, I think we will see it more. But I think that's what prevents it from happening right now.
Yeah, I mean,
as much. Because that's something that, weirdly enough, people don't talk
about. I like the idea.
Yeah, I'm surprised that's something that people don't yell at us on Twitter about more. And I mean that in a nice way.
Is how we're not staggering those two guys that much.
Yeah.
It's gone up and down. When Paul George first returned, the first sub out would always be Kawhi, and we would have Lou Will come in.
Yes.
And there have been some fluctuations in that, obviously, as there has been so much, you know, the ups and downs with the health of this roster. But looking at all two-man lineups in the NBA that have played at least five games together, this Paul George and Kawhi Leonard two-man duo is good for 25th in the NBA in terms of total plus-minus.
Okay.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Right on their heels, however, are a couple of Paul George-less lineups, actually, which just on the heels of that lineup, and we're talking like a tenth of a point of plus minus per 100 possessions. So, you know, very close in terms of overall efficiency.
Yeah.
As a baseline.
For sure.
You know, this is not the be-all end-all, of course, but you got Patrick Beverley and Kawhi Leonard right there, and then tied at the same plus minus of about 5.9 points per 100 possessions, which is just outside of the top 25 in the NBA of all two-man lineups. Kawhi Leonard and Montrezl Harrell.
Ooh, like that.
So
that closing lineup I saw. Anyway, go ahead. We'll talk about, because the closing lineup is interesting to talk about.
Well, I guess,
which is the opposite of what we're talking about, but
I guess it just begs the question if maybe, because it's kind of the opposite of how I'd seen it in my head. But if we were to stagger these two guys, Paul George sees a little bit more time with that starting lineup, and Kawhi Leonard maybe sees a little bit more time with the bench unit with Lou and Trez both on the floor.
I mean,
I guess with Lou, you know,
that
you are
sounds good.
You are taking the ball probably out of his hands some, so it depends on how you feel about that. But the defensive upgrade, I do think
it's there.
Bears discussion.
And I think so. I think a lot of people would say that the offense does look smoother when it's just Paul George with the starters. I'm not saying better.
Yeah.
I'm not saying.
But we've talked
but
about
you know
this.
What I mean? It looks just a little. Paul George is a more natural scorer. So it looks on the offensive end, you're like, oh, this looks great.
We've talked about how, though, that's maybe a little deceptive because, I mean, not deceptive, but like, he's the one that's scoring. So it makes sense without Lou and Trez on the floor to have him in that role. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas maybe when those guys are on the floor, we don't need Paul George to necessarily shoulder such a heavy scoring load. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Pun intended. All right, I'll get out of here. Yeah. I like that idea.
Yeah.
I'm just, I don't know, taking the ball out of Lou Will's thing is really the thing that I keep coming back to with that out of his hands.
Well, I mean, it opens up another angle of pick and roll with Lou Will and Kawhi, which seems interesting.
Or Kawhi and Trez.
Because
Kawhi runs it well with everybody he seems to run it with.
Yeah, or Kawhi and Trez. It does take away from some of the playmaking on that starting unit if you're playing Kawhi in less of those minutes with
which, as we mentioned, he's averaging the most assists of his career.
Yeah. And Paul George's passing early on hasn't looked so good, but do you hope that maybe Beverly has a little bit more room in that starting lineup to
with that playbook?
To carve out maybe a greater facilitating role. But I don't know, just some food for thought.
No, I like that. I really like the idea of Bev getting more of a role, being that main facilitator. That's something that I feel like that's been like underplayed ever since that Doc was talking about that. I feel like that's been on my mind so much. And how much that can open up the offense for everybody.
Totally.
We're going to talk about a little more about the starting lineup, maybe what more of what we want on Thursdays, coming up after this break. But first, this spring, this beautiful spring.
There's only one thing to do, folks. Follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. Amazing weather and landscapes, exciting outdoor adventure, incredible food. Did you know, Charles, Arizona is the perfect home for baseball fans? You can follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. They got 10 stadiums, 15 MLB teams, 75-degree temperatures. Not too hot, not too cold.
Beautiful.
All 10 stadiums are in Greater Phoenix, all within 50 miles.
A true 50 miles out there. That's a 50-minute drive out there.
Yeah.
Not like that LA 50
miles.
That's
not an LA 50-mile drive. I know. I see 50 miles, and I'm like, that sounds terrifying. you can meet the players, get autographs before games, and you can check out amazing restaurants and bars nearby, including tons of craft breweries like Four Peaks, Angel's Trumpet Ale House, and Goldwater Brewing Company.
Oh, wow.
You can enjoy live music from local and national artists, explore museums featuring everything from native heritage to modern art to musical instruments from around the world.
Just go ahead and plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. Okay, Arizona heads, welcome to Thirsty Thursday.
Do visit Arizona. That sounds so much fun.
Arizona seems pretty tight. So let's talk. We're talking a little bit more about the starters. This is Thirsty Thursdays. So there's some things we want from the starters. Here's something that I think some people want. When Shamit gets back to Shamit's ways.
Yep.
Do you think there's time we see him at the two?
I don't see why not.
Maybe the defense. But if it's a smaller backcourt or something like that,
yeah,
not too small. The shooting out there with Paul George is just crazy. I think that helps Zoo out a lot. I think Zoo maybe gets more run if Shamit's out there.
It helps Zoo out a lot
because there's just so much space, and then it's like, okay, this is your paint, Zoo. Like they have to care about Shamit. Sometimes teams fall off a Mo.
I was gonna say it does provide an added threat. Mo Harkless isn't always able to provide.
Offensively, no, not always. Anything else you want from the starters? Very open-ended, philosophical segment, I feel like. Maybe in a bad way? It's just kind of, we're just like getting into this, you know, we're kind of quote-unquote here now when it comes to the roster being healthy.
Do you want them to put like a... do you want them to move away from the sliding starting lineup? Would you like a set five, or are you happy with a little bit more of a matchup dependent kind of a thing?
From these last seasons, I think I'm just used to it. Because before, with like Lob City, it was like we know what's going on for the most part.
Yeah.
But because of the injuries, specifically the last, you know, 17, 18, and last year, and now, I think I'm just numb to it. So I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Let's try it. It seems to be going okay. Like, what do you, I don't know. It's like, we haven't seen a stagnant, I don't mean stagnant in a bad way, lineup in kind of a minute.
Yeah, I like it. I hope that it is reinvigorating Doc in the same way that he mentioned loving coming to work last year.
Yeah.
Which Cooper, I know we're not supposed to talk about.
Cooperman was kind of talking about that. He's like, do you think he maybe doesn't love coming to work as much? I was like, I don't think so. I think it's just harder now.
I don't think he it's got to be different. It's just got to be different.
Definitely different.
But I guess I'm thirsty for these sliding lineups to be actually matchup dependent and not because of the long list of injuries.
Yes. So, yeah, okay. Yeah, for sure. I would. Yeah, I'm used to it, but in the bad way.
Yeah.
Where because of necessity in these last seasons.
I'm thirsty for some Hago Caliente news. What do you got for us?
This is depressing stuff.
All right. Let's go. Let's hear it.
So, Jerome was sent down for the Hago Caliente game. We talked about it with Party Carl Tart. We were all very excited because we were like, oh.
Get his confidence back.
Get some confidence back. Go show those people that you belong on a G League floor, definitely. Maybe an NBA League floor, which we think. But you know what happened in a game that the Hago Caliente Clippers lost by 20?
What happened?
Jerome was a DNP.
Yeah, this is very.
What the shit?
Perplexing to me. Is he injured?
No.
Yeah, I don't know. It's pretty baffling to me.
I saw DMP. I was like, like they lost by 20?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying like he can't get run. I'm saying you didn't give him any run? Were they told not to give him run? Like, Fee went 0 for 10 from 3 in this game.
Yikes.
And Rome can't get
a few shots?
One of those?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, man. I guess I'm just thirsty for what. I'm thirsty for Jerome to have peace. And I want him to play or not. You know what I mean? Like, keep him in the G League for a little bit. All these people who want to trade him and stuff, I'm like, maybe we should just keep him in the G League and let him get confidence.
It's interesting.
Show
because
what he can do. Because, like,
we don't have the same conversation really ever about Motley, who hasn't really been playing as many G League games.
He doesn't have the burden of his draft selection.
That's fair. Yeah.
And the burden of Michael Porter Jr. being, you know, the best player out of that draft. Some people act like that. But you know what I'm saying? When they talk about Jerome, you always have to bring up MPJ.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. It just, I don't know. I guess it's even a thirst. It's just like, give him some run.
Yeah, seeing some Jerome confidence minutes would definitely be good. I'm for sure thirsty for that. You know what else I'm thirsty but also parched with, just because we haven't in, or not parched, but I'm satiated with?
Yeah.
Trez's leadership on this team. I love it. I love it.
Saturday.
I'm always thirsty for more, but I'm not saying that he's lacking it. He's bringing it always.
Last Saturday is a watershed moment in Trez's leadership timeline.
Yeah.
Saturday, he said things that were fairly candid. They were true. Could upset a locker room. It was about effort. They had a game the next day.
Yeah.
A game in which they gave up, you know, 45 points in the first quarter. We all thought, oh God. He backed it up in that game.
Yeah.
Before the game, guys were joking around. Everything felt the same. And he played well. And then he's going to the Hago Caliente game.
Penultimate display of leadership. He was at this Hago Caliente game that we lost by 20.
I made a joke that he was Rome's ride to the game. So he just was like, oh, dude, I'll stay. Like, whatever. No, it's fantastic. I'm surprised in a good way. Not that I did. It's just not that I didn't think that he wouldn't do this and answer like this, but it was a true. He was a leader of this team before Saturday, obviously.
Before
Memphis afternoon, but now he's taking
we
it.
Were walking in Memphis.
Yes, he's showing how big and valuable he is to a team.
Totally.
And it's so awesome to see.
Yeah, and it's...
I mean, I can't wait.
It's not even a thirst because he provides it, but I'm thirsty for even more. Like, he just backs up this kind of stuff, and it really sets a tone. And it's, you know...
Friday could be a massacre for the Warriors.
Yeah, he's been a vocal leader. You know, he... it's nothing new for him.
No.
But, you know, I'm never gonna be edemaed on his leadership on this team.
Never.
And his ability to, you know, to step up and do those things too.
Yes. Something I'm thirsty for. Feedy to stay in the G League.
Yeah, I don't know what we're doing. I mean
this isn't a slight. We knew he was a project coming in.
Totally. Yeah.
He just went 0 for 10. He just needs reps. And it's like
he was a sixth man in college. Like he needs reps at the G League.
Just stay down there. It's totally fine.
Yeah, I think that it helps with that confidence a little bit.
And he has obviously, good games down there.
Obviously, he doesn't have that big of a problem with confidence if he's going 0 for 10. Love it. I still love the 10 attempts from 3.
I love that he was just 0 for 10, and they were like, yeah, keep firing it.
He's still pulling the trigger. I think that's probably best. The way things have played out thus far, I don't see us... We haven't really been like asserting a dominance on teams to where there are a plethora of garbage minutes or like not garbage, but you know, maybe less competitive minutes for deeper rotation guys to play. So it seems like he's going to get the most development probably in the G League.
Yeah. I just want him down there getting reps.
Anything else you're thirsty for?
One last thing.
What do you got?
I think Paul George can get his defense kind of on a nice stretch, a nice run these next three games. Two of them specifically.
All right.
We play Warriors, Nuggets, then the Cavs. Two of those he can for sure build some momentum in terms of defense, you know, looking a little sharper.
Yeah.
Nuggets game will provide a test, obviously, because they're a very good team. But I'm excited for it.
I'm excited for it, too.
I want it to happen. It's close-ish. I would like him to stop biting on pump fakes.
Yes. That Denver game is going to be such a test.
It is. Anything else you're thirsty for? Before we talk about this, these comments.
Nah, let's move into shavings.
Coming up after this, we got some shavings. Okay, welcome to Shavings or Clippings, as one fairly upset iTunes user calls it.
Very reasonable.
So there was a bunch, there was a hullabaloo and some malarkey going on out there. Stephen A. Smith was on one of his many shows, and he said that he had heard from a reliable source that Kawhi was, quote,
it's not a reliable source,
was, quote unquote, up there saying, someone tell LeBron, stop being scared to guard me. He also prefaced this was part one of the saga. He also prefaced this by saying, I've been wanting to tell you about this since the new year started, which, if you're Stephen A. Smith, you talk to Max Kellerman on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And you're on TV a bunch. You could have told him the day of.
True.
First day of the new year.
Very true.
Also, maybe, I don't know, if this happened during the Christmas game, any time in between Christmas and now.
Yeah.
Because when the hell, like, Kawhi's just, like, hanging out saying this to somebody? If this happened on the court, this would have been the most absurd thing. Like,
oh yeah, that would have been a huge storyline.
It would have been gigantic, dude.
Yeah, it's just weird.
It was just off from the start, and everyone was like, "Dude, you're saying." Oh, and then he also there was part where he was like, "Oh, I didn't." Sorry, that was the second part, but. The first part was just like, I couldn't believe the reliable source up there. It's so vague. And it's such
Where is up there?
It's such a slow news day move, which we are talking about. So that's the whole point. But we're a fan podcast, so it makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, look.
That's not what Kawhi does.
That's just not really the way Kawhi does things.
He
so
says board man gets paid when he's grabbing rebounds. Like, there's evidence of that. So then... He tweeted out...
Stephen A. Smith is it.
Stephen A. Smith, not Kawhi. Stephen A. Smith tweeted out, of course I didn't speak to Kawhi. Who does? But I'll tell you, I did someone did hear this about King James guarding him. And if this is true, that's even more of a reason to play for a Lakers-Clippers conference finals this May. So, first of all, we have a couple things in here. You have a, oh, LOL, Kawhi doesn't talk. Then
tell that to the many great beat writers out there that cover your LA Clippers who stay late, yes, see Kawhi Leonard, and speak to him.
But I did hear this. And if yeah, it is true, dude, is this all that's wrong with sports media today? This is a completely fabricated story.
Yes.
It's so it seems. Step back tree, Clippers Twitter user, also pointed out, he was like, dude, Stephen A. Smith's the same guy who talked about LeBron like wanting to like beat Kyrie's ass if he requested a trade from his like sources. So like, it's just such a slow news day move. Lou Will quoted the tweet with a cap emoji.
You love it.
That's just good shit. Right,
you love to see it.
You'd think they would have bagged on us for losing to the Grizzlies instead of making up a Kawhi quote.
Yeah, I was really surprised that we didn't get dragged more for that stint of games there over the weekend.
They had a thing they could have made fun of us for.
Yeah. I mean, two, really.
Well, yeah. But no, it's just like, and I know, you know, Stephen A is like, he's a high, this is part of what he gets paid to do. He has hot takes, that whole thing. I'm fine with takes being, you know, like when Ryan Hollins was going on that take tour where it was just like, dude, what are you talking about? Like,
yeah.
I'm fine with takes like that, but like just to fabricate a situation.
Well, the issue here is that you're...
It's probably just lame as hell. I don't mean to be on a soapbox about like integrity or whatever. I'm just like, come on, man. Like,
I mean, like, it's all in just the way that you phrase this. Because if he was phrasing this like,
Kawhi,
we want to see LeBron try to guard Kawhi in a conference finals.
Yeah.
I think that that's a much more interesting... To me, that's even more interesting than being like, oh, I heard. Well, I didn't hear firsthand, but I can confirm...
He was up there.
Someone heard up there. Because then you're just bringing a whole weird different spin to it. Then it becomes suddenly a scoop, but it's not a scoop.
Yeah.
Because there's no scoop.
Yeah. I don't know. Shout out to Lou Williams for immediately being like, this is, what are you doing? Man. Anything else in shavings?
I don't think so.
Clippers practice today. We're recording this on Wednesday. The Clippers did practice today, which is good. Looked like a hard practice. Everyone in every post-game interview was like pouring sweat.
I think they know what they got to do, and they got to finish strong.
There's a lot of talk about that.
They know what they got to do. They got to finish strong going into the All-Star break. They have to get their minds right that, you know, they're still going to have to show up every night. We know that the regular season is just the appetizer.
Oh, man.
But you still gotta finish your plate.
Wait, what? All right, you gotta finish the appetizer plate.
Yeah, you don't finish your appetizer.
Sometimes it's a power move. I won't.
That's not true. I know you. I've never seen you not finish an appetizer.
I go to a bunch.
You're lying, right? You're Stephen A. Smith right now.
I go to a bunch of power lunches.
This is
that I go to by myself.
Up there, there's a lot of power lunches.
Up there, I go to a lot of power lunches. I take one bite of my jalapeno poppers, and I leave the rest. And I say, no, you can't have any of them. And then you know what I do? I close the deal. I don't close any deals. I think that about wraps it up.
All right. So for Friday, we are going to have a preview of the Warriors-Clippers hopeful victory. Some Pacific Division talk. We'll have a spicy Love, Mary, Kill.
Maybe it's a Love, Mary, Kill about Stephen A's other scoops about Clippers. Who knows?
Oh, I like it.
Thank you for hanging out with us on this pretty conversational pod. Let us know what you think about the starting lineup stuff. Should we stagger?
Yeah.
Kawhi and Paul George more? I should stagger less, but for different reasons. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Spotify, French streaming service Deezer.
Yeah. If Shout you haven't already, Deezer please heads. Subscribe on iTunes. Please leave a rating. We will read it on air. Good, bad, funny, lame. Check it out.
We'll do our best to check it out. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
I'm William the Opinion Updike. We really appreciate you.